Spring is in full swing, and summer is just around the corner. A great time for a beach getaway at the Oceanfront Boardwalk Plaza Hotel in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Enjoy the best of oceanfront accommodations and amazing dining right on the beach, both with great views of the ocean and boardwalk. Enjoy a soak in the heated indoor spa pool, or book the adults-only concierge level and relax in the rooftop hot tubs. Book online at BoardwalkPlaza.com or call 800-333-333 Beach. Thanks to the Boardwalk Plaza for being the Bridge Podcast Network sponsor.
Welcome to another episode of Together, part of the Bridge Podcast Network. Together, hosted by author, pastor, and communicator Jack Eason, will equip us in overcoming loneliness. We'll learn to identify what gets in the way of real community, how to develop and deepen true friendships, and discover a place of true belonging. Now, here is the host of Together, Jack Eason.
All right, welcome aboard, guys. It's Jack Eason here with you. We're continuing our discussion, as we have been for many weeks now, about this whole issue of loneliness. And I have a special guest with me today. I'm very excited. Ali Patillo, based in New York City, and is a health and science writer and reporter. And, man, she has covered so much. I was just reading a little bit about you, Ali, from everything from working with the folks at CNN and Dr. Sonia Gupta to... I know your folks are from the South, but you graduated, I think, from, if I'm remembering correctly, from the Columbia Journalism School in 2019, Dartmouth in 2017. Yeah. Wow. Wow. I am with people much smarter than me today, which is a good thing.
I don't know about that. Thank
so, hey, thanks for getting connected. I came across your article. I mean, I want to jump right in because I know you're busy. If you're listening, you know, here in the month of August when we're recording this, we're still in the midst of the crazy pandemic. And, you know, so it's really appropriate that we're talking about loneliness because a lot of people are facing that, from students like that I have going back to college and finding out college is a little bit different, to people who are working from home and finding out that work is a lot different. How did you struggle? How did you just decide you wanted to write about loneliness? Is this something that you have just seen and you're like, okay, I need to address this issue, or is it something personal for you? What's the connection?
Yeah. So as you kind of touched on, I'm a mind and body staff writer at Inverse. And I write about everything from, the latest COVID-19 treatments to, the way people are using, psychedelics to treat mental health disorders. And I also produce our podcast called The Abstract, which is all about scientific innovation and discovery that are shaping our world. And this article came about because I write a newsletter called Strategy that goes out, and it's all about harnessing behavioral science to help us solve problems in our day-to-day life. And something I had been hearing from friends and colleagues and seeing people talk about online is that as we're working remotely, working from home, people just feel more disconnected from you know, more than ever. They feel disconnected from their colleagues. People might feel closer to their families and loved ones if they, you know, live in the same place. But if you live alone, it's a pretty lonely experience. And what I was interested in was figuring out, okay, how does this emotion actually impact people's work life? And is it impacting performance? That's kind of where I got started.
And I know you did a lot of research. If I'm remembering, there were a couple of studies I know that you came across. One was with the University of Pennsylvania, the Wharton School of Business. And then I think you actually referred to Julian Lundstedt, her report, which actually is a source I use for some of the things I have in my book that's coming out, because she is, I actually did a video podcast with her too. She was a wealth of information. What did you discover from the research that you did about the whole issue of loneliness, especially how it affects us in the workplace?
I think one of my biggest takeaways was that when we often think about loneliness, we think of it as a really personal, almost intimate problem. But what the research shows is that it's actually an organizational and managerial problem, that when employees feel lonely, it actually hijacks their work performance. And the reasons why that happens is that loneliness kind of sends our emotional barometers and social skills out of whack. So if we're lonely, we feel like we've talked about really disconnected, but we're also missing kind of these social ties at work that can help us solve problems at work. So if you're struggling with a project or a presentation and you feel really connected to your colleagues, you can easily, you know, shoot them a message, give them a call to help you solve that problem. But if you're feeling isolated from your colleagues or from your workplace, that's not going to happen. You're never going to reach out in that way. And that will ultimately just snowball into a pretty detrimental effect. And from the research in particular, especially the University of Pennsylvania research that you mentioned, they actually looked at about 800 workers and their managers, and they did these very detailed surveys. And they figured out that managers actually rated lonely employees worse. And that came down to kind of two factors, which were approachability and the appearance of a lack of commitment to their organizations, which is kind of funny when you think about it, because you think often when you're lonely, you're on the inside kind of crying out for people to reach out to you or to have that connection. But you can actually kind of exude the message of leave me alone, even though that's the opposite of what you want.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of factors. And I think that something else that was really interesting from the research is that when people are lonely, they tend to kind of overshare or undershare information. They avoid reaching out and building those connections. And all of these things kind of add up to a pretty kind of perfect storm that is hindering work performance.
Yeah. Well, what did you discover, or if anything, as some possible helps for those people like it sounds like you and even me who are trapped in working from home,
right.
which even, by the way, if you have family, sometimes it's like, okay, I've been around you guys too much. Get out of here. Leave me alone. I want to be lonely for a while. So there are pros and cons. Did you discover any solutions or tips to help people who are working from home?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were different tips for kind of the individual and tips for a manager. So I think that the key that the researchers emphasized to me was that you want to create a workplace that has a strong emotional culture of companionate love, which is kind of a weird phrase. It might make you think this is like mushy gushy, very soft. And that's not really the case. It's actually just kind of caring, compassion, connection across the workplace and across colleagues. And that actually boost performance versus taking a kind of harsh or angry an irritable workplace. Like that makes people lonelier, and actually they're not as creative. They're not as willing to kind of give their feedback or add in new ideas. And that just is a culture that kind of stifles really great productivity. And the way that the researchers said you can kind of foster this companionate love is having managers reach out with genuine check-ins. And this doesn't have to be huge. It's not necessarily, you know, arranging an hour-long Zoom call with an individual employee, but it's sending a heartfelt message, sending, you know, a genuine, even sending your employee like a coffee just to let them know that you're thinking about them.
Right.
I think the biggest thing is just for managers to pay attention to employees that might be giving off signals that they're lonely, and not think that it's kind of awkward to address that. You don't even have to address it directly. It's just to show the employee, like, I see you, you matter to this company, you matter to this team, and we value you. And that goes a long way.
That's huge. What about personally, what are some things you've seen or from your research or experience personally that can help individuals get over loneliness? I know you mentioned one, and I chuckled. I guess that's appropriate because you talked about a mood lifter being, I think if I remember, laughing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny because I think on an individual level, when you are lonely, it's actually pretty hard to overcome it yourself, because as the researchers put it to me, loneliness begets loneliness. Like once you've decided that you're lonely in a particular context, then you're kind of like, oh, well, no one wants to be around me. I'll just go isolate myself even further. And it just is kind of this vicious cycle. But if you do feel like you're kind of feeling loneliness come along, number one, I think it's important to realize like this is a universal, very natural emotion. And especially during the pandemic, when we're dealing with so many other stressors. You know, we're worried about the economy, we're worried about our health. There are all these other pressures on our mind, and it's totally natural to feel lonely during this process. But what they did say was, actually, if you can think about other colleagues or even friends who you think might feel lonely too, if you can be that person to reach out to them, you actually can alleviate your own loneliness. And again, that's not, doesn't have to be a huge kind of gesture. It can be something as simple as just, you know, saying, let's have a virtual drink or coffee. Let's go on a, you know, socially distant walk, or even just sending someone a message. And that process of reaching out on someone else's behalf is actually beneficial to the individual.
You love the people in your life, but sometimes you just don't understand each other. Wouldn't it be great if there was a tool to help you do that?
The Enneagram is a great tool to inspire better connections with others, ourselves, and God. It's about learning what motivates us or how we and others see the world. Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Kim. Join us on the journey to better relationships utilizing the Enneagram.
Check out our podcast, If You Really Knew Me, and subscribe today.
That's so good. Wow, that's so good. Again, talking today, if you're listening to the podcast, to Ali Patillo, who is a writer for the Inverse magazine, I guess you'd call it. Would you call it a magazine?
It's an online magazine. Yeah, well, news site is probably more accurate.
Yeah, which is great. And there's a lot of good stuff that you can find online of your work. I mean, one of the things, strategy, I came across that. I think that was a series packed with a lot of tips about helping you make the most out of your life or your career. And of course, today we're talking about loneliness, but I know you talk about a lot of other issues. You know, there was a couple other things that I, if I'm remembering correctly, that you mentioned, help people with loneliness. One was, sweating or exercise, which I thought, you know what, that is so true. And most of us, when we think about it, those of us who do exercise realize, wow, it's a way to kind of disengage our mental emotional mindset and do something physical. What have you seen when it comes to exercise and even getting outside, I think you mentioned?
Yeah, I'm not sure that the research is strong enough to say that those particular activities, you know, are like the solution to loneliness itself, but really it's helpful just for your mental health. You know, like I think that when we're lonely, when we're stressed, when we're panicked or anxious, exercise is a known way to kind of disconnect from those feelings, to process them, to let them out. You know, you get that rush of endorphins. You also benefit your physical health. There's just so many great cascading effects from just getting outside, even though often when we're dealing with those kind of stressful, those stresses on our mind, exercise or going on a run seems like the last thing we want to do, but you almost never regret it. And the other things that can help are getting outside, because we know that, you know, walking in a natural place, grounding yourself to the earth, you know, looking at a beautiful mountain or the ocean, that also helps you kind of put things in perspective. It also relieves stress. You know, we see like cortisol levels go down during those activities. And then the last thing is just to laugh, because it can be hard, especially if you're working from home, especially if you're living and working from home. It's hard to remember, you know, all the fun parts of life if you're not, you know, out at concerts or going to shows or, you know, meeting your friends for social activities. Just reminding yourself that finding humor in the situation is a relief, and that, you know, this too shall pass. And oftentimes, at least I find that comedy does that super well.
Yeah, that's so true. Hey, you know, I know you're busy. Couple of just quick questions.
Sure,
one of the other articles on the same in your same strategy series, I know mentioned you had found a couple of methods beyond those you've already mentioned, which are so helpful. A couple of other methods that psychologists have found that are fighting the effects of loneliness. And you know, one of those you talked about meditation, which I have found in my research as well, that meditation, spirituality. Is helping people overcome loneliness. Do you wonder, and this may be just a personal question, or maybe from research you found you might could answer, because
sure.
I wonder, you know, it seems like to me, and I'm older, okay, I'm 50, but I still feel younger than that. I wonder if the millennials, Gen Z, the next generation, I was Gen X, so at least millennial and Gen Z I like a little bit better than just Gen X. But I wonder, is spirituality something that people, I know from what I've read, people tend to be walking away from that. And yet to some degree, what I'm reading just for loneliness, for example, I'm reading that spirituality, meditation, things like that help with the effects of loneliness. In your experience, do you think people are still walking away? And why are they walking away if they are? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I don't know that I have kind of a concrete answer, but I will say that I think, you know, we often look at the younger generation. I am a millennial, so I can speak for that generation, but I feel like we look at millennials and Gen Z and the advent and pervasiveness of technology, and often it's a little bit rattling to people who didn't grow up with a cell phone, you know, attached to their hip, basically.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes, I think that we have seen that, you know, it has changed social patterns. You know, it's changed the way that younger generations build relationships and interact with each other. But at least from some of the researchers and psychologists I've spoken to, I think the thought that technology is going to kill spirituality or people's, or make people incredibly more anxious and depressed and perhaps even heighten the risk of suicidality, I think that that is a bit of a stretch at this point based on the current evidence. I think that may be possible. I think we haven't seen that those kinds of extreme effects. I think that ultimately we're human beings, and I think that social connection, face-to-face connection, having you know, reflective time to yourself through a spiritual practice or a meditative practice, or even just, you know, having your coffee in the morning and taking a moment. Those are all things that I think human beings need to survive. We're wired for that. I don't think that is necessarily going to go away because of technology, but I will say, I think that, you know, having our phone on all the time, having constant interruptions from our emails, from news alerts, that causes a lot of noise in our brain. And so it might mean that taking those moments of reflection are even more important, just to kind of reset and find a signal through the noise.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I agree with you. I still feel like mentally I am a millennial myself, because I think a lot. I have a lot of millennial friends who are like, you think like we do. And I love technology and the gift of it. I think it's great. But I also love sitting down with a cup of coffee and having a conversation face to face with a friend. So I think you're I think you're right. Hey, I know you're busy. If people wanted to get in touch with you, find out more about what you do, your podcast, how can they connect with you? Because there's some great stuff I'm finding online, even beyond, again, loneliness is just one of the things we've talked about today. You have so many more things that you have talked about with great wisdom. How can they get connected with you?
Absolutely. Well, you can find all of my reporting at inverse.com. We report on everything from health, science, technology, entertainment, gaming. It really runs the gamut. So there's definitely something for you there. And then, as I mentioned, I produce the Inverse's podcast called The Abstract, which you can find on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on basically any podcast platform that you use. That comes out 3 times a week, and we pair 2 of our Inverse stories, tell them in audio. And it's really fascinating. I think that it is a new way. It's kind of a new way to tell relevant science in a way that is interesting to people and makes sense. I think those are the major places to find me.
Okay. Awesome. Inverse.com to follow all the writing. And then what's the name of the podcast again?
Called The Abstract.
Okay, The Abstract. Cool. I'm going to sign up for that on Spotify as soon as we finish this conversation. So very, awesome. Very cool.
Sounds great.
Fantastic.
I look forward to your feedback.
All right. Hey, and yours as well, too. Of course, if you want to find out more information, again, about loneliness, check out jackeason.org. This conversation with Allie will be posted there, as well as some other resources to help you fight that battle of loneliness that we all face from day to day. And great to connect with you, Allie. I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Jack.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Together on the Bridge Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a beat. Share your thoughts and questions about this episode by emailing podcast@wearethebridge.org. You can find other great podcasts by heading over to the Listen tab at wearethebridge.org/podcast.